Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Good morning, everyone. It's December the 27th, and I hope you had an absolutely wonderful Christmas. I'm doing the show alone today, and I want to focus on the topic of reflections. As we look back on 2018, there's going to be wonderful memories for most of us, but I'm sure there's also going to be some regrets. I recently read an article about the five most important things in life you'll probably regret not pursuing. And the article was by Mark Pettit, who's a business coach. And I thought since we're looking at the final days of 2018, it might be a good time to share some of Mark's thoughts with you. He began his article by sharing the definition of regret as defined by the Oxford Dictionary. Oxford states that regret is feeling sad, repentant, or disappointed over something that you have either done or failed to do. And I would imagine that most of us could come up with a ton of things we wish we had either done or not done throughout 2018. As all of us begin the new year, here are some thoughts that Mark posed to help the readers that he works with, at least, to consider where they want their lives to go in 2019. And I think these are things that if we stop to think about them, we may also want to adopt for our own lives. The first question that he posed was to ask what your hopes, dreams, and plans are for the new year. So that might require doing a little bit of sitting down with a piece of paper time and just asking yourself, you know, what would I like to see happen in the coming year? What does your ideal future look like? And remember that, you know, we create what we think about. So the ideal, if it's something that you can clearly define, you can begin to pull into your reality. Another thought was, what is your life purpose? And that's a pretty heavy-duty question. But whatever you're doing, if you reflect on that, you'll come up with your life purpose. So it might be pulling people together. It might be, you know, doing some healing work, you know, as a nurse, a doctor, a social worker, a minister. It might be working with children, you know, mentoring. But you kind of have to look at what makes you feel good, because whatever it is that makes you really feel good is probably in the direction of your life purpose. And then the final question that he posed was, what do I really want from my life, from my love, and from my career? And each of those are separate categories, obviously. So what do you want, you know, from each of those areas? As Mark points out, we often have more regrets over what we didn't do than what we actually did do. We could be living with that whole concept of false evidence appearing real, the fear concept. And maybe that is keeping you from doing something that you really want to do. So often, research has shown us that people are haunted by more regrets than from actually fulfilling their duties, obligations, or responsibilities. So this could be interpreted as, are you the person that you really want to be? So when life is over someday in the hopefully far distant future, if your soul is looking over your life, is sort of evaluating your life, do you want to have the emotional equivalent of a job well done? Do you want to be able to look at your life as a soul and actually think, you know what? I did a pretty good job. Of course, everyone understands that none of us is perfect. Actually, I believe that this is the very reason that we are alive, is we have opportunities each and every day to make choices, to help others, and be aware of the ways that we can be kinder, gentler as a human being. Oftentimes, we ignore these little nudgings, and we only think of ways to improve the bottom line of our life. Many of the mistakes or hurts that we inflict on others can be fixed with a simple apology. So many times our pride stands in the way and we simply don't take the time or even make the effort to say, "I'm sorry," when we know that we have hurt someone. It is this lack of action and often our courage to follow through with a heartfelt apology that inflicts the most damage to relationships. And you know what? It's really simple to just look at somebody that you know that you've hurt and say, "Hey, I am really sorry." Maybe there are other areas in your life that you wish you had pursued, such as writing a book or learning how to play a musical instrument, or maybe even taking up some other creative pursuit. Maybe you want to learn how to kayak. Maybe you want to learn how to be a competitive swimmer. Maybe you want to learn how to be a chef. I mean, there's so many different creative angles, and it might add a new dimension to your life. Oftentimes, it is actually that fear that whatever you're wishing for would simply be a waste of time or money. And so you tend to wait for the inspiration or the confidence to come before taking that very first step. The reality is this: if you don't take that first step toward the dream that you want, you're never going to get started. All that's required is to make the commitment to move forward and then having the courage to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Eventually, you're going to reach your goal. Most of you probably remember the movie Forrest Gump, and I thought it was such a neat part of the movie when he just suddenly decided that he was going to start running. And he kept running until he was done. He then stopped. And if you remember in the movie, he had all of those people behind him that couldn't figure out why he suddenly stopped, because it was a movement. I mean, people would join him from maybe a couple of miles of his run. But he didn't ask himself why he ran. He just ran until he didn't want to do it anymore. So that whole concept of putting one foot in front of the other is how we all get started with anything we want to do in life. And it doesn't mean that you have to do it for the rest of your life. Just like Forrest, you can say, "You know what? I've done this for a while. It was a great road trip. I enjoyed it. And now I'm going to do something else." There is a Chinese proverb that states, "To get through the hardest journey, we need only take one step at a time." But, and here's the key, you have to keep stepping. Another part of the equation is to understand we all have to be willing to take a risk about anything we do in life. If you can't take a risk, then you can't grow, and you will simply stay wherever you are in your life. And you have to ask yourself, is where I am right now where I want to be for the rest of my life? When I put together the concept for this radio show, I wanted the program to convey how all of us can live our best life. And this meant having to look at how to get healthier physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So this isn't easy work, but it is doable if you're willing to make that personal commitment to yourself. It's much less challenging when you just simply look in the mirror and say, "Hey, this is the way I am. This is the way I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I don't plan to change." So you can either take it or leave it. Well, I doubt very seriously if any of us are so perfect that we can't consider some changing or some compromising in order to reach our personal goals. I think it's important to recognize that there are so many opportunities out there for growth within our lives. Another area that all of us probably have in common is referred to as the woulda, shoulda, coulda process. And there was actually a book that was written by Dr. Arthur Freeman and Rose DeWolf in 1992 called Woulda, Shoulda, Coulda, Overcoming Regrets, Mistakes, and Missed Opportunities. It's still available on Amazon if anyone wants to read it. And it really is a pretty good read because we all do exactly what the title says. We say to ourselves, well, I would have done this, or I could have done this, or I should have done this. And we do it on an ongoing basis. It prevents us from actually reaching those goals that we may have for ourselves. In a study that was done by Bonnie Ware, in her book that she wrote in 2012, her book was called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And these top five were taken from many, many, many patients who, you know, were in the process of dying. They were making that transition. And their number one regret was that they wished they had had the courage to live a life true to themselves, rather than the life others expected of them. That was the number one. So maybe you need to ask yourself, am I living the life that is true to me? Or am I living the life that everyone else expects me to live? The second regret was that they wished they hadn't worked so hard. And sometimes this means that they lost really, really valuable time with their children, with their spouses, with their friends, because they were working so hard. The third regret was, I wish I had had the courage to express my feelings. And that's part of this show. We're talking about feelings a lot and learning how to express them and be in touch with them, because that is a part of who you are. Number four was, I wish I had stayed in touch with friends from my past. And this might be friends from childhood, maybe from college, or because we move so often, it could just be somebody that you were pretty good friends with and then you relocated and you've lost contact with them. And the final wish was that they wished they had let themselves be happier. And I thought that was really interesting because I'm not sure that a lot of us know what actually makes us happy. And maybe that's something we should get into touch with in 2019. It's interesting that when you are at the end of your life, most people do find that they didn't even honor half of their dreams. And so when you were little, you know, what did you dream of? I mean, a lot of people dreamed of being a cowboy or a cowgirl or a doctor or a nurse or, you know, a fireman or, you know, something like that. But what were those dreams that you had as a teenager? What were those dreams that you had as a young adult or even in middle age? Those dreams are still there. They're still there for you to go and get if you really want them. How do you become the person you really want to be? Well, I think all of us could say that we have a number of things we want to do with our lives, and yet many of those ideas never see the light of day, as the saying goes. We typically worry that we don't have the talent or that we're not good enough. But here's another thing that a lot of people are afraid of. They're afraid that the changes that actually could happen in their lives, if they were successful, might make them a different person. And they're afraid of becoming somebody else, even though that might lead to more happiness or more fulfillment or some of those dreams that they might reach. They're afraid of that. And change is difficult for everyone, but you have to be willing to take that risk. Being fully present, using the mindfulness approach that we've talked about a lot, might help you go a long way in actually becoming the person that you want to be, because it helps you slow down, it helps you be in the moment, and it helps you listen to that little voice inside your head that is telling you which direction to go in. Also, surround yourself with the right people. that we're going to cheer you on. They're going to have fun with you. They're going to help you take those risks. You know, be around those individuals who are wanting to live their life. As Mark Twain said, 20 years from now, you're going to be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones that you did do. So throw off the bow lines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. What a great saying that Mark Twain gave us. And I actually have that one on my refrigerator to remind me that it's time to go enjoy, dream, and discover. How do you gain clarity on your life's bigger purpose? Now, that's kind of a tough one, but have you taken the time to ever stop, journal, or actually think about your bigger purpose? Sometimes it's pretty easy to get sucked up into the daily grind of life. And if we haven't pondered, you know, those questions about, you know, what is my bigger purpose, then there's a tendency to stay with the same job, the same friends, the same routine, and that's how you become stuck. So there's no growth, no change, no transformation from that caterpillar into the butterfly. When your priorities are clear and at the top of your mind, when you know who you are and where you're supposed to go with your life, then you can see the steps that you need to take in order to make those changes. So many times we tend to compare our life to somebody else's life. Oscar Wilde once said, "Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken." So understand that your life is your life. It doesn't belong to anyone else. Your journey is your journey. Stay away from negative people and negative environments. Be around people who inspire you. And understand that making others happy doesn't necessarily make you happy. So when you decide to set some goals for yourself, you know, start with the things that you actually have been avoiding. And most of you are going to figure that out pretty quickly. So maybe one of the things you want to do in 2019 is to get healthier. So how would you begin that process? You might exercise, ride a bike, walk. You might look at your eating habits. Maybe you're doing way too many fast food stops. Maybe you're drinking too many Starbucks cappuccinos, or, you know, your own cappuccinos. Check those calorie counts. I would recommend to everybody that you start maybe 2019 by just getting a physical. Get a baseline. Understand what your current weight is, what your cholesterol is, maybe what your, for a lot of you, check your D3. That's D as in dog and the number 3. That's your immune system. And you want your immune system to actually be at 50 or above, but you need to ask for this test because doctors don't normally give it to you. And don't let them give you a range. Tell them that you want a specific number. Anything below 50, your immune system is in trouble. Also, do you want to get more education or training? Who could you talk to about attending classes or maybe internal programs within your company that would help build your skill sets? Are there scholarships or opportunities out there that might be available to you? Also, is there someone in your life that you'd like to spend more time with? It could be a child. It could be a relative who's aging. Maybe it's a friend that you really enjoy spending time with. Make the time. How about, would you enjoy getting back in touch with an old acquaintance? How could you make that happen? Do you think you should work on being a better parent? Maybe a better spouse or a better friend? What would that entail? What do you need to do in order to make those things happen? Janet Connor is a local author in the Palm Harbor area of Florida. She wrote a book quite a few years ago now, actually, called The Lotus and the Lily. But it is, again, available on Amazon if you would like to purchase it. And she's done a lot of podcasts and seminars on finding your purpose through meditating, or what she calls writing from your soul. And one of the things that she suggests in her book, which is really pretty cool, is to close your eyes and hold a ball of divine light in your hand. So instead of a crystal ball that you might actually hold, although if you have one, you can certainly use it. But if you don't, just imagine that you're holding this crystal ball in your hands. And you're doing some deep breathing, of course, and you're getting into that quiet, centered place. And you're looking into the ball and asking for your higher power to help you see what lies around the corner of your life. As you begin to hear the messages, write them down. And what's really interesting is that Ellen DeGeneres did this a number of years ago now, when she was not who she is today. She was at the lowest point in her life, and this was an interview that you can actually look up on YouTube and hear. But she did this when she had no success. She was actually living in a small apartment, and she was sleeping on what she said was a flea-infested mattress. Her best friend had just died, and she didn't understand why she was alive. So she sat down and wrote a letter to God, asking what she was to do with her life. And she actually began to see the direction. And the more she wrote, the more she understood what she needed to do. And as they say, the rest is history. So what would happen if you did this exercise? What would you begin to see as the direction for the rest of your life? So as 2018 ends, another consideration I believe that's important is to recognize that one of the most important investments you can make as a person is to give somebody the gift of time. We have aging parents, we have aging relatives, we have our children who are going to be moving out of our homes. Giving them that gift now is something that will be with them for the rest of their lives. It's not a gift that's going to go away. It's how you build your memories. Might you be able to create a better balance in your life by doing this? Because time is something that you cannot buy, but it has more value than any other gift that you can give. And I wanted to read you kind of an interesting, some of you have probably read this before or heard it before, but I think it is very pertinent to this whole concept of time. So evidently there was a scientist who was sitting and working, and his son suddenly approached him, and his son was determined that he was going to get some of his father's time. But the scientist didn't want to be interrupted, so he asked his son to go somewhere for a while he finished doing what he was doing, but the son was not going to take to that suggestion very lightly. So the scientist actually grabbed a book, a world map book, and he tore a page from it, and then he cut it into small pieces, and he gave it to his son, and he said, here, why don't you try to put the world back together again? Here's some scotch tape, and let me know when you're done. And so the son went off with the scotch tape and the different pieces of the world map. And the scientist was convinced the 9-year-old, who had never seen a world map before, would take hours in order to put this back together again. But within a very short period of time, his son was calling to him and said, "Dad, I'm done. I put everything back together." Well, the scientist couldn't believe it. And he thought when he went to where his son was that there would just be a mess there. And to his surprise, the map was perfect and all the pieces were in place. And so he asked his son, he said, "How did you do that? How did you put the world back together?" And his son said, "Well, Dad, I didn't know the world. But when you tore the page from the magazine, I saw that on the other side was a picture of a man. So when you gave me the world to fix, I couldn't fix it. But when I flipped all the pieces over, I started to fix the person. And when I fixed the man, I saw that the world had been fixed as well. So could it be possible that by simply spending more time and energy with those we love, that we might just be able to fix relationships? Some of you may recognize this next name I'm going to give you. He's a Vietnamese Buddhist priest. He's won the Nobel Peace Prize. He's written extensively. And he was interviewed on Oprah Winfrey's show a number of years ago now. I think it might have been back even in 2011. But you can go to YouTube video, Google it, and you'll be able to see this interview. And he talks a lot about mindfulness and being present. He wrote a book called Living Buddha, Living Christ. And it's probably one of the best-selling books that's ever been, printed. And for some individuals who just don't like to read, it's also been recorded. Ben Kingsley is the narrator if you get the recorded version. And I love to listen to his voice anyways. This man's name is Thich Nhat Hanh. And in the interview, he's teaching how to use what he calls four mantras that can restore almost any relationship. He uses the terminology, darling, when he talks about each of these mantras. So mantra one is, darling, I am here for you. And he explains that the lotus flower can't grow out of marble. It must grow out of mud. Growing a relationship is like growing a flower. It's going to have difficulties, but if you use understanding and love, it can be done and it can be beautiful. And he goes on to say in the interview, how can you love if you're not there for someone? His mantra two is, darling, I know you were there. And in this case, you're recognizing the presence of the beloved as someone who is very precious to you. So when you truly love someone, you both see and hear them. And that means putting cell phones down and turning off televisions and really listening, not just with your ears, but with your heart. Mantra three is, darling, I know you suffer, and that is why I am here for you. When he says this, he's actually saying that he's going to listen to whatever is going on in their life. He understands, or she understands, that the person is actually suffering. And so when you use this particular mantra, you're holding space for that person. You're not going to offer suggestions or solutions. You're simply eager to learn and to understand where they are coming from. And so it requires listening, and it also requires patience. And number four is, darling, I suffer. I am trying my best. Please help me. So in this final one, he is asking for the person to help him understand where they are coming from. He or she may have caused the actual suffering. And so you're trying to learn so that you can improve, and so the situation maybe doesn't occur again. So if people could learn this particular technique, which is really basically pretty simple, you might have a ripple effect. You know, if you do it with one person within a family, they will learn how to do it, and they may do it with their friends, and maybe they'll take it to work, and so it goes. The ripple effect is very, very powerful. His name, by the way, is spelled T-H-I-C-H. The second word is N as in Nancy, H-A-T. And his last name is H-A-N as in Nancy, H. The biggest lesson that I think I've learned this year is to not force anything. And that means don't force conversations, friendships, relationships, attention, or love. Anything that is forced is simply not worth fighting for. So whatever flows, flows, and whatever crashes, crashes. Maybe the lesson here is to learn how to go with the flow. And if you're meant to be in a job or a relationship, it's simply going to flow. It doesn't mean there won't be occasional conflicts or communication problems. But maybe when they occur, we could use Thich Nhat Hanh's four mantras in order to learn how to resolve conflict. So I hope that everyone listening has a wonderful close to 2018 and an outstanding 2019. Again, please go to my website at synergyconnectionradio.com and click on the service tab to find the variety of health and wellness services that are available. Also, if you do order anything between now and the end of the year, just use the promo code Lucy and you get $5 off. There's free shipping in December from the information under the health blogs. Thank you for listening to the Synergy Connection Show. In 2019, we will be going to an hour format, and my first guest is going to be Trey Malicote. He is a returning visitor to the show, and we're going to be discussing how to connect to your own personal divinity. I hope everyone is ready to begin living their best life in 2019. Thank you for listening.